All right. Everyone here puts on tefillin, right? Baruch Hashem. Everyone here puts on tefillin. Anyone here have any crazy tefillin stories? Getting lost?
That's on the coach.
Yeah. I had tefillin in 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven ones here on Main Street?
Yeah.
That's on the coach.
Where?
Sushi Fusion,
yeah.
Coach Boss,
classic.
I had the shul once and I was locked for the entire week.
Really?
I was mine in Lamport.
Yeah?
I was mine in Lamport on Thursday. Searched the whole place Thursday night with security, and there's no tefillin
with
left. Came back Monday morning and it was right there.
You're sick. Wow, fuck that shit.
Left mine in school one day.
Yeah.
I went home, it was a snow day. went back and I'm like, no. It wasn't a snow day. The bus was just decided to not show up that day. Went in anyway, got my tefillin, and wasted my entire day.
Oh, you got your tefillin. Everyone has a tefillin story. I once left my tefillin on a plane when I came back from Israel.
Oh.
And I almost got arrested because I was like stupid. And instead of just going to the security and be like, I left my tefillin on the plane, can you get it for me? I tried to get back on the plane. And I was in Newark Airport. And I pushed the door that said, do not enter. And the entire alarm went off. The alarm went off in the entire airport. And I just ran. And then the New Jersey police came and they were yelling at me. Baruch Hashem, I got my tefillin back, but that was pretty scary. It was really funny because like I was like trying to get back on the plane, and like right next to me was like a glass windows, you know, where the people are waiting to get on the plane, and I'm in like this like hallway trying to get through the door. So all these people are staring at me as I'm pushing the door, setting the alarm off, and then running away, and like looking at me like out of my mind. Whatever, that was fun. So anyway. So Baruch Hashem, we all have our tefillin right now. Everyone had their tefillin today. So I want to talk about an unfortunate situation where someone finds out that their tefillin are pasul. I was Googling, trying to find a recent news story on tefillin. So I found this article from, and I heard of this website, Shturim.net. I hear Shturim.net. I think it's like a Chabad website. So this Rabbi Avram Yitzchak Prudenshedesky. Okay. Chabad Shliach in the Israeli Moshav of Gana Yochanan cannot believe his eyes. After mistakenly leaving his tefillin in the sunlight for 2 hours, he discovered that the straps were not made of leather, as required by Halacha, but of cheap plastic. I purchased these tefillin from a Chabad sofer who was honest and trustworthy, the Shliach told the Israeli Chabad news website, Shturm.net. It appears that the sofer himself was hoodwinked by a crooked supplier, and he immediately agreed to replace the faulty straps. The Shliach asked the website to publicize the story and warn others of the high prevalence of fraud and non-kosher fakes in the market for tefillin, mezuzos, and other items of Judaica. So you see, unfortunately, you could have these crazy stories that happen. Back in the day, I think like in the 60s and the 70s, it used to happen a lot. My father told me that he got tefillin for his bar mitzvah. And when he was getting married, someone suggested, oh, maybe, you know, get your tefillin checked before you get married. So he went to the sofer, and the sofer opened them. And right away, he's like, your tefillin are pasul. The cloth is totally, it's photocopied. Photocopy. Crazy. So, the last 7 years of his life, he'd been wearing puzzled film. So, I want to ask you, in this case, how do you deal with that, right? What do we say? Are you, what are the issues here, right? Are you at fault, right?
Are you
responsible?
You were giving it thinking that it's...
Right, excellent. You're giving your film thinking that they're good.
Shouldn't you be
right?
more careful?
Should you be more careful, spot? Right? That's a question. How often should we be checking our film regularly, right? Another issue is... What would you say about this guy? He's putting on, let's say, the guy who discovered that his tefillin straps are plastic. So he's been putting on tefillin for, let's see, 2 weeks now, right? Did he get a mitzvah?
Yes.
You want to say he got a mitzvah? Yeah. They're not kosher tefillin. Could you get a mitzvah? Who thinks yes?
He thinks they're kosher.
Yeah, good. Who thinks no?
Probably eight.
Who thinks like some middle thing? Okay, so we'll see. Excellent. So these are the issues. Issue number one is he at fault? Should a person be checking their tefillin regularly after they discover after many years of tefillin are pasul? And two, in such a situation, do we say that you get schar for doing the mitzvah? So when it comes to checking tefillin, it's a machlokes tanaim in the Yerushalmi and Erevin, whether or not a person needs to check their tefillin. How do we paskin? So look in the Shulchan Aruch in the first source. It says the Shulchan Aruch. Right? As Amitri said before, when you buy tefillin from a sofer who's reliable and you trust, you don't need to check them because you're assuming he's a good guy, he's a tzaddik, he would never give me a faulty pair of tefillin, right? I don't have to assume that the cloth and the tefillin are pasul. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, "And ainu manichan ela leprakim tzricham bedika pamayim pamim b'shavua." So if you don't put them on, you don't put them on so often. I'm not sure what that means. Hopefully you're putting them on every single day, but maybe it's like a second pair or something, right? Then you need to check them. The Mishnah explains maybe, you know, bugs can get into it, things like that, when you're leaving it in the dust. Fine. But we see clearly from the Shulchan Aruch that when you buy tefillin from a reliable sofer, someone who has a good reputation, they do not need to be checked, ever, right? He says you never need to check. Despite that,
aren't you supposed to check them like every 7 years?
Okay, good. Comes the Mishnah Berurah, and says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Mishnah Berurah, even though the Shulchan Aruch says you technically do not have to have your tefillin checked ever, still, it's proper to have them checked because they can get ruined from sweat. So, even though the Shulchan Aruch says don't check them, the Mishnah Berurah says, I recommend checking them. So, if that's the case, if you have this Mishnah Berurah, this guy, he's not an onus, right? Person who's been putting on tefillin for years, suddenly finds out 15 years later it's still an apostle, he should have been, he's at fault. He should have been having them checked. Becomes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he saves the day. Everyone heard of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach? One of the great post-Gimon Eretz Yisrael. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Halicha Shlomo. So he's talking about checking your tefillin. He says, Ein nogim livdog es ha-tefillin shenasu bezmaneinu behinder. He says that what? The Mishnah Berurah is written by the Chafetz Chaim, right? The Chafetz Chaim passed away in the 1930s. Rav Shlomo Zalman says there's a big difference in the quality of tefillin from the early part of the 1900s to nowadays, right? And the tefillin that we make nowadays are very well done. The quality is much better, and you don't need to have them checked unless you have a specific reason, right? If your tefillin would fall into the water, everyone says have them checked, right? And if you look in the footnote in Nun Beis, he says, okay, but the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mishnah Berurah says you should have them checked. So Shlomo Zalman says, no. Our tefillin are a much better quality, so you don't have to worry of them getting ruined from other things. And then he says something even startling. He says, Adarab, al pi rov, mitzuyim takolos, rak v'acher shenim tiku v'tiknu michadosh. So Shlomo Zalman makes 2 points. He says, not only do you not have to get your tefillin checked if you buy them from a reliable sofer, he says you should not get your tefillin checked. Why? Shlomo Zalman says very often, by the sofer opening up the entire tefillin, opening up the batin, taking the cloth out, and then needing to stitch it back together, you're more likely to run into problems when he puts it back together. You make your tefillin weaker by opening them and closing them again, right? If you just get your tefillin, and you never open them again, they'll remain in good condition, right? The more you play around with it, the more likely you're going to run into problems. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you don't have to check your tefillin, and better not to check your tefillin. So based on that, we can say, person who bought his tefillin from a reliable sofer, and then he finds out they're puzzled, he's an onus. He wasn't at fault, right? He's allowed to assume that tefillin are kosher, and he doesn't really have to have them being checked regularly, right? And then, the Rav Shlomo Zalman says that even when it comes to mezuzahs, right? We have the minhag, a lot of people have the minhag, right? Misha mentioned before, we get our tefillin checked, our mezuzahs checked, right? I think twice every 7 years. A lot of people do it during Elul. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that even that, technically, if you have your mezuzah in a separate case, right? It's not inside the wall. The parchment's in a glass case, which is, I think, most mezuzahs that we have nowadays, right? He says it's very unlikely something ever happened to it. So even that, you know, if you're not careful to have it checked, it's okay. But Minhag Klal Yisrael seems to be to have the mezuzos checked, but tefillin, different story, you don't really need to have your tefillin checked unless you have a specific concern. Let's move on to the second part of this year. So you're an onus. You're not at fault for not having your tefillin checked. But do you get a mitzvah for all the times that you were putting on pasul tefillin, right? This guy's putting on straps that are plastic. Person's putting on tefillin that the cloth, the parchment, the words are photocopied. Do you get a mitzvah? So I want to show you an amazing Gemara in Bava Kamma, right? We're learning Bava Kamma this year. So there's a Gemara on the bottom of Tez Zayin of Beis, maybe we'll get up to it, where the Gemara says the following. The Navi Yirmiyahu is davening to Hashem. There are people who are trying to kill Yirmiyahu. So Yirmiyahu was davening to Hashem that he should punish these people who are trying to kill him. And your Yo says something amazing. Take a look at the Gemara Bava Kama Tez Zayin Mavez. Darish Rav. It's Rav expanded. My Dixiv Yu Mukshal Mifanecha Beisa Pecha Asebahem. Right? That Yirmiyahu is davening that Hashem should cause these bad people who are trying to harm him to stumble. So what was Yirmiyahu davening? Amar Yirmiyahu Lenei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yirmiyahu said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Afilu B'Shah She'osin Tzedaka, even at a time where they're doing a mitzvah, such as giving tzedaka, Hachshili Mivnei Adam She'enu Mehuganim Kidei Shelo Yikabu Lein Tzchar. Right? Make it that they end up giving tzedaka to people who are not deserving of it, so they don't get reward. Right? Everyone has someone in their point. Everyone in their life has someone come up to them and ask for tzedaka. Right? Very often, you're not sure what their deal is. Right? Maybe they're just like a secret millionaire. You know, he just wants a couple of bucks. Right? Probably unlikely. But often it could be that they're not really poor. They're not really deserving of tzedaka. Or you know what? They're going to take the tzedaka and they're going to buy something not, you know, not food. They're going to buy something else that's not good for them. Right? And really, they don't really deserve the tzedaka. Right? So Yirmiyahu is davening Hashem, make it that these rishonim are trying to harm me. Even when they're doing a mitzvah like tzedakah, they should give it to someone who doesn't really deserve it, and they won't get scarred for the mitzvah. So let me ask you a question. What do you see from this gemara? If you try to do a mitzvah, right, and you have good intentions, I want to give tzedakah, and it ends up being that the person you gave tzedakah to really was not deserving of it, do you get a mitzvah? What does it sound like from this gemara?
No.
Right? Intention's very nice. But at the end of the day, you got to pull through. We need some results. Needs to be that the person who got the tzedakah deserved it. So based on that, what would you say in our tefillin situation?
No.
So yeah, feel bad. Guy thought he got Jim. He thought he was putting on tefillin, but too bad. It's not actually the mitzvah. But let's ask a bam kasha this gemara. There's another gemara that seems to say the exact opposite. Take a look at the gemara kedushin and daf mem and malal. This is a famous gemara. Machshava tova mitzar for lemaisa. You guys probably heard of this expression, right? Hashem counts a good thought as a good deed. What does that mean? Amr of Asi. Afilu chashav adam lasos mitzvah. Rav Asi says an amazing thing. Even if a person thought to do a mitzvah, v'nanas, and he wasn't able to do it, right? He wanted to go give tzedaka over in the Heights. He was driving from Queens, right? I almost said Tina, sorry. Right? He was driving from Queens, right? And he wants to go give out, I don't know, shloach manos on Purim to all the poor people in Washington Heights, right? And then what happens? There's a huge snowstorm and the bridge is closed, right? So he wasn't able to do the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, that he still gets scarred. Says the Gemara, Mala lava kasav kilu asa, the Torah credits him as if he did the mitzvah. So the Gemara is saying an amazing thing. If I wanted to do a mitzvah and I tried, just some crazy thing happened and I wasn't able to do it, Hashem counts it as if he fulfilled it. So now we have, what do we see? We have two contradictory Gemaras, right? What's Pshat? The Gemara Bava Kama seemed to say that if you give tzedakah to someone who is undeserving of it, you don't get the mitzvah. Well, we have this Gemara in Kiddushin that says, as long as you try, even if you were unable to do the whole mitzvah, you still get schar.
What if he intentionally goes on a snow day to...
What if he intentionally goes on a snow day?
Do the mitzvah.
Yeah, so what would you say?
How do you intentionally go on a snow day?
You have to be sincere, right? You have to be that I tried, I tried my best. Something beyond my control happened. Yeah. So because of this question, because of this contradiction, comes the Milki Yosef, right? The Milki Yosef is one of them. He's shown him in the back of the Gemara, the Bava Kama. The Milki Yosef says as follows: Had the Enu Makabel Schar, Haynu Dafka Mishiyodeibo, Avom Enu Makiru BeEfsher Shu Hagun Schar Yeshlo Sharei L'Shem Mitzvah Mechavim. Says the Milki Yosef, when does the Gemara? What did Yirmiyahu mean when he said that he davened to Hashem that they should give tzedakah to people who are not deserving of it? He meant that they should give it to people who they know, you know, this guy doesn't really deserve it, but like, I'm just lazy, I'll just give him the tzedakah, right? But they knew deep inside this person didn't really deserve the tzedakah. But if a person sees someone, right, and they have no clue, they don't know if he's poor, they don't know if he's rich, they don't know what he's going to use the money for. And they say, you know what, I don't know, but hopefully I'm going to just give him tzedakah, right, and I'm having kavanah to do the mitzvah tzedakah. Hashem counts it as a mitzvah, right? Machshava tova. Right? If you intend to do the mitzvah, right? Even if it ends up being that the person didn't really deserve the tzedakah, if you had no clue, you had no clue at all what this person's situation was, you're an ones, and you still get the schar for the mitzvah. So based on that, what would you say about our case of tefillin? Right? We learned before that when you buy tefillin from someone who has a good reputation, right? you're allowed to assume that tefillin are completely kosher. You don't have to get them checked regularly, right? So I buy tefillin. I'm allowed to assume for the rest of my life these are good kosher tefillin, right? And every day when I'm putting the tefillin on, I'm having in mind, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. So if I find out, unfortunately, 15 years later, that they were really puzzled, comes the Gemara in Kiddushin and says, don't worry. If you try to do a mitzvah of enanas, ma'alava kosuk yilasa, Hashem views it as if you did. And this is how the Ben Ish Chai, was one of the great Sephardic poskim, he has a tshuva about this exact question where someone wrote to him that the tefillin were found to be puzzled, and he says this exact idea. He says, don't worry, the fact that you tried your best to do the mitzvah, Hashem's going to count it as schar mitzvah. So we'll just end off with the beautiful words that Rav Asher Weiss is a great posek in Yerushalayim nowadays. So he has a tshuva about this topic also, and he writes to someone who this happened to, and he says, so what can you take upon yourself, right? You've been wearing tefillin for 10 years, you suddenly find out they're puzzled, so, you know, it's kind of scary, right? It's like an eerie feeling. You suddenly find out your tefillin are puzzled. So what could you do to sort of like as a tikkun, right? It's part of the tshuva for not having been able to fulfill the tefillin, mitzvah of tefillin properly. He says, "Bikomakom roi sheyikabel atzal mikanal abba." Person should accept upon himself lahader miyucha mitzvah tefillin to exemplify specifically the mitzvah of tefillin. Lakarnu b'chol libo, to fulfill with his whole heart. V'nafshol liyos lavish b'tefillin, but to set his man. To try to wear them longer during the day, even beyond davening, right? And then he says, "V'roi sheyikvah la'atma lima musiyam in matzilin." Establish a specific learning schedule that you do with your tefillin on b'chol yom b'fnei atzilah, before davening or after it. And if best, learn hilchos tefillin. And then he says a beautiful line at the end: "Mikol makom yikaim mitzmosa b'simcha." Try to fulfill the mitzvahs with simcha. V'lo yitzatziv yosem yidai, and don't get depressed. Don't let this take you down. And Hashem will have His mercy on you. So we see from here that number one, we learned two important things. We learned number one, that when it comes to buying tefillin, if you buy your tefillin from a sofer who is reliable, you do not have to have them checked regularly. You're allowed to assume unless something specific happens, such as it falling in the water, or maybe you leave it out in the sun for a really long time, you're allowed to assume that your tefillin are kosher. And we also learned that if a person has intentions to do a mitzvah, and he was unable to do it due to extenuating circumstances, Hashem still counts it as a mitzvah. So we'll just end off with a word on the Parsha quickly. So in this week's Parsha, right, we have the building of the Kelim and the Mishkan. Right? One of the Kelim and Mishkan was the Aron. And the Torah says by the Aron, that the Aron should be covered in gold from the inside and the outside. So the Gemara has a drush on this pasuk, on the fact that the Aron had to be made from gold on the inside and the outside. That kol talmid chacham she'in tochel kibara eino talmid chacham, that a person who his inside is not like his outside is not a talmid chacham. Meaning, a person is, you know, out on the outside he pretends, look, I'm a frum Jew, right? He does all the external trappings, but when he's in the privacy of his own home, he doesn't really care. So he's not a talmid chacham. So let me ask you a question. There's a Gemara that says, la'olam yasok adam b'tor b'mitzos afil shelo l'shma shemitok shelo l'shma b'lishma. That what? We're not perfect, and we're not always going to learn Torah just for the sake of learning Torah and do mitzvahs just for the sake of learning mitzvahs, right? Sometimes we have other motivations involved. But Chazal say, don't worry. Just keep doing the mitzvahs. Don't worry about, okay, I'm not doing this 100 with 100% sincerity. Because mitov shelo l'shma, you'll eventually come to do it l'shma. So what's pshat? On the one hand, the Gemara says, if your inside is not like your outside, you're not a talmid chacham, right? But on the other hand, we have Chazal telling us, don't worry, keep doing mitzvah Torah, mitzvah shalosh sham, shemitok shalosh sham, abal shma. So the Sefer Olam Hamidos, which is a beautiful Sefer on Musar, recommended tremendously, he says a beautiful idea. He says that at the end of the day, Hashem does not expect us to be perfect, right? When the Gemara says that your inside has to be like your outside, that the same way you are, you know, in public should be the same way you are in the privacy of your home, Hashem knows we're not robots, we're not malachim, right? What Hashem wants is just that deep down inside, our starting point is, I want to be sincere from Jew, right? My mindset is I want to be sincere. At the end, but how that plays out, am I always going to be perfect? No, Hashem doesn't expect that, right? But you don't say to yourself, okay, you know what? If I can't do it 100% l'shma, I'm just going to give up and not do anything, right? That's not what you're supposed to do. You say, ideally, I want to be at l'shma. I want to do everything sincerely, and I'm going to try my best. And that idea is hinted in the Aron itself. Yes, the Aron had gold on the inside and the outside, but what? What's another thing inside the iron? What was another box inside the iron? Wood. Atze shitin. Right? So it says the Olam Hamidos, beautiful idea, that the iron itself that we're learning that your inside has to be like your outside because it has two layers of both, also had wood in it. Because what? Hashem does not expect us to be perfect. It's okay if we have some wood in there, right? At the end of the day, if our motivation, our ideal is, I want to be Lishma, even if we make mistakes and we stumble and we fall, it's okay as long as we have the right mindset. So with that, wish everyone a great Shabbos. Shkoyach.